thousands, smaller groups of people. We pray, Lord, that we would be like Joshua, who was taught and prepared for leadership over 40 years under Moses. And today, Lord, we thank you for Priscilla and Aquila, for their obedience as children of God, for their obedience as kingdom people, to speak with authority and to walk in your power and to bring this great teacher, Apollos, under their wing and to teach them so that he could be a powerful sent one, an apostle, to the churches in Achaia, to the church in Corinth specifically. Lord, we thank you for the example that we have, and we pray, Lord, as we have welcomed Vivian Ruth into our family, into the family of God, that we would be faithful as Priscilla and Aquila and Paul were with Apollos, that as she grows in years, we will place in her hands the Holy Scriptures. We will see her brought to the church, brought to the sacrament of the altar, taught in confirmation class, maybe even by her grandpa. The Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the six chief parts. Lord, we pray that she would grow in faith to understand that she's part of this covenant, that you have placed her name, or your name, on her. And for that reason, we are obedient to you. Not because we have to be, but because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that she would be a kingdom child, that she would know the authority given to us to go and make disciples of all nations, that she would walk in your power and be mighty in your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us today so that we may truly understand the importance of discipleship, the importance of mentoring, the importance of growing in our faith throughout our whole lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just did something that I think is amazing. It's something that when I was a youth and I was going to different churches, I never saw except in the church that I grew up in. And that was when someone was baptized, that the church actually says, "We welcome you into the family. We're the family of God. We're the children of God, and we welcome you into the family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same heavenly Father, to work with us in his kingdom." And we make a promise to Vivian, as we made a promise to all who are baptized, to remember them, to encourage them, to lift them up in prayer, and to walk with them through their life. Now, of course, when people decide they're not going to walk with you, it's kind of hard. You can't force them, put them in a headlock and say, "You get in here." But you can continue to lift up people. You can continue to pray for them. You continue to encourage. That word encourage is so important, right? Because it means to basically, courage means to take the courage that we have and to place it in another person. To take the courage that God has given to us that we talked about last week with Joshua. You know, be bold and courageous. We can take that courage that God has given to us and actually take some of it and pour it into someone else's life. And that's what encourage means. And so we are called upon, we've made a confession, we've publicly testified to the fact that we will be there to support Vivian, just as we did with Asher and so many others. And it's my prayer that we would be faithful in this. I know we're going to fail because we're simple human beings, but it's my prayer that we'd be faithful in this because we can see the results of that faithfulness. The reason why it was so cool that this happened to be the day of the baptism, when we look at the different people as we've been following through Scripture and looking at how the Bible teaches how we as a body are called upon to disciple one another, we're looking at examples throughout the history of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, how the church has historically discipled or mentored people into the faith. And we talked, as I mentioned in my prayer, we talked about Moses and Jethro, remember? Where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, shared his experience with his son-in-law and told them, you can't judge everybody Because if you do, you're going to burn out. You have to set up people over 50, over 100, over 500, over 1,000. You got to set up judges so that people can come and disputes can be settled. You can't do it all. And that was great wisdom, right? And Moses used that wisdom, and that kept the people of God in good order. And then we go on to see, last week we talked about the relationship between Joshua and Moses. How many of us think that when we get to 60, 65, we can actually retire, and that's when Joshua is starting his ministry. And he's been in seminary for 40-some years. Gene and David are going, well, phew. We've been in ministry for a while. And Ron, too. Well, you're just starting. And now today we're getting into this wonderful little tiny passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 18, where if you read Corinthians, and if you believe, like Martin Luther, that Apollos was the one who wrote Hebrews, you understand that Apollos was important. As a matter of fact, so important that some of the people in Corinth, if you read the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, some of the people wanted to follow him rather than Paul. And history tells us that he got so disillusioned with the Corinthians because of their divisions that he left with another, with a lawyer, and they went to Crete and retired. Got so frustrated with the division in the Corinthian church. But he was a powerful and mighty minister of God, and for that reason he's noted there as this person who, even though he was eloquent in speech, he was articulate, he knew the Old Testament, he knew the Scriptures, he was well-versed, he was able to speak in the synagogue and be respected. Even though he was eloquent in speech and mighty in Scripture, even though he seemed to have everything all together, the one thing that's so important, the one thing that sticks out whenever I hear about Apollos, is that he was teachable. You know what I mean by that? If people were going around saying about you that you were eloquent in speech and mighty in Scripture, would you not think that maybe you had it all figured out? Absolutely not. Well, you're better than most, Joanne. Because that's the way some people think, right? If they, in the academic world, if you have your doctorate and you're the chairman of a department and you've been published over and over again, don't you have a tendency to think, well, you know, I kind of made it here? What do you think, Thad? Maybe? Pardon me? Yeah, you could take the fifth in this country. You're fortunate about that. We didn't have that in Canada. No Fifth Amendment, sorry. But, you know, you can get to a point where you think, I've got it all figured out. And the reality of Apollos is that he was teachable. Because it's amazing when Priscilla and Aquila, now you have to understand Priscilla and Aquila. They lived in Rome. They were Jews. They became Jesus followers. And they got kicked out of Rome in 49 AD, the year of our Lord 49, not the year of our Lord common era. The year of our Lord 49, when Claudius decided to kick all the Jews out of Rome, they were just lumped in with the Jews because the Christians were considered a sect of Judaism. They were lumped in, they were basically thrown out, and they were living in Corinth. And so they were, or in Ephesus, sorry. And they go with Paul, and they spend time, and when they see this young Apollos, this Jew from Alexandria in Egypt, speaking eloquently and mighty in Scripture, but only knowing John's baptism, only knowing a baptism of repentance, and not being filled with the Holy Spirit, and not knowing the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, knowing Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, only communicating what John had communicated, which John was the forerunner of Christ, and he pointed people to the Messiah, he pointed people to the fact that the Messiah was coming. And he knew the Old Testament, he knew that there was going to be a Messiah, right? Because he knew what the Old Testament teaches, that there was one who was coming to save his people from their sins. So he was looking forward. The Bible doesn't indicate this, but history tells us that Apollos probably went to Judea during the time of John the Baptist, was baptized by John, and knew that that Jesus was coming. But as he preaches and encourages the people in the synagogue that the Messiah is coming, Priscilla and Aquila, who are there, say, we know not only is the Messiah come, but we know who he is. And we know what he did. And we know he rose from the dead. And we know he ascended to the right hand of God. And we know he's poured out his Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And so you would think that maybe you would get the idea that they probably thought, you know, I got something that he hasn't got. If they were immature, they probably would have said, I know something you don't know. You probably never heard that. Never. I know something you don't know. If they were immature, that's what they would have done, right? They would have made themselves feel better about themselves to say, we know the truth, and he don't. And yet, what the Bible says, and what the NIV translation actually says, is that Priscilla and Aquila invited him to their house. It doesn't say that here. It says they took him aside. And they formed a relationship with him, and they mentored him so that he could teach the Word of God accurately. Isn't that amazing? That he could teach the Old Testament, even though he's eloquent and mighty in the Scriptures, he could then teach it from the perspective of knowing the Messiah rather than just prophesying the coming Messiah. Isn't that awesome? He was teachable. He was willing to listen. He was like the Bereans. He was willing to go back into Scripture and say, yes, 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 this is the one who John was talking about. This Jesus is the one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Jesus that John prophesied. And he was teachable. And in that mentoring relationship, he learned so much so that he became a wonderful teacher and truly an apostle to the church in Achaia and their capital, Corinth. Isn't that awesome? Because it could have gone totally different. He could have grown up in Judaism. And I think what's wonderful about Apollos is you got to understand a little bit about his history. First of all, his name. How many of you think this is a Jewish name? I mean, it says he's a Jew. Sounds Greek to me, right? Yeah, it's Greek. It's actually the son of Zeus. Apollo is a son of Zeus. And Zeus is the father of the son. Sound familiar? And Apollos grew up in Alexandria. Now, Alexandria, for us in this day and age, maybe Alexandria doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But if you understand history a little bit, it's really an amazing city. It's an amazing city because it was set up by Alexander the Great. It was the breadbasket of the world. Everything came through the Nile Delta, and this was the port. And so it was a breadbasket to the world. There was a big temple there that Cleopatra set up to Mark Antony. And after that whole thing, you know, with Mark Antony and Cleopatra and everything, they set it up to Julius Caesar. And so it was called the Caesareum. And it was a beautiful, wonderful, amazing building. And it was, a pagan temple, but an amazing building. The architecture was amazing. And then they had one of the great wonders of the ancient world, do you know what it is? Well, the library's one, but there was another one. The lighthouse. The lighthouse, again, being a port, being important to all of the grain that was shipped throughout the Mediterranean region. It was really important, so they had the lighthouse there. It was one of the great marvels of the ancient world. And then, someone mentioned it before, the library. The library at Alexandria, according to Josephus, had 500,000 books. Now, for us who grow up in this day and age where we've had the printing press for over 500 years, everything's all now on computer, but just to imagine 500,000 books at this time in history was huge. And they had a section in there on Judaism. And for those of you who have taken life with God with me or have been taught by me, you remember what the difference between the translation that some churches use and our translation has to do with the fact that there was 70 Jewish rabbis in Alexandria who were commanded to translate the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, which Jerome's Bible and other Bibles, they used the Greek Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. That's why there's a difference between what Martin Luther did when he went and said, well, I'm going to use Hebrew for the Old Testament and Greek for the New Testament. And in the Septuagint, that means the 70, the translation of these 70 rabbis in Alexandria, that's where you get the intertestamental or apocryphal books. They were part of the culture. They were already there, and so they added them in. That's why some Bibles have them and some Bibles don't, because the Hebrew canon, which was established around 300 B.C., only had the books that we have in most Protestant Bibles, because Martin Luther took the Hebrew and the Greek. Whereas, again, some Bible translations are Greek and Greek. But what's important is Alexandria was a place where there were great teachers of Judaism. And so you have Apollos growing up in a place where there is tremendous wealth, there is tremendous prosperity, there's well, everyone that is anyone is well-educated. And so it's no surprise that he is eloquent in speech and mighty in Scripture, right? It's not surprising. And don't we hope that as Vivian grows up, that through instruction and the faithfulness of her parents and her godparents and her families, that she will grow up and people will say of her that she is eloquent in speech and she is mighty in Scripture? Isn't that a desire we have for all of our children? Isn't that what we desire as Christians, to be able to be, that we would be told we are eloquent in speech? Which again, coming from a Greek, and being, even though he's a Jew, coming from a Greek way of thinking, he was eloquent in how he communicated. And that we would want Vivian and all of our children to grow up to be eloquent in speech and mighty in Scripture, but that we would want them to be teachable as Apollos was, so if there's anything wrong, they would be able to be corrected, right? That's why we believe in discipleship. That's why we believe in mentoring. Because all of us can fall prey to the things of this world, right? All of us can fall prey to secular thinking. All of us can fall prey to Satan whispering in our ears these fallacies, these mistakes. And I'll tell you something. What happened with Apollos is important, because it's like Apollos, how can I put this? Because he only knew the prophecies of John, because he only had the baptism of John, because he only knew that the Messiah was coming, and he didn't know the truth that the Messiah had come. It's kind of, now I was trying to think of a way to explain this, and the best way, I know it's hard for people to understand now with the new technology, like I have a tablet, and I don't even have a keyboard on the tablet. I use the electronic one, but I would like you to imagine with me the archaic time when everybody had to use a keyboard. I know that that's hard to imagine, folks. Just can you imagine with me for a moment? Just imagine with me for a moment that you're using a keyboard and you're trying to program a computer or you're trying to write a letter and you have two keys on the keyboard that don't work. That's like home. Okay. I didn't know that. But anyways, see, I never use the keyboard at home, so... Project, keyboard, okay. Thank you. Just imagine a keyboard that just two letters don't work. Now that doesn't seem that significant, right? Two letters? I mean, you got a whole keyboard there. That's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of keys on the keyboard. There's even numbers on the keyboard, okay? But there's two keys that don't work. The first one is E. The second one is I. Two little keys. Now try and write a letter. You have to be eloquent in speech and mighty in dictionary or lexicon, I don't know. Or thesaurus, I guess is the word I was thinking. Thesaurus. You have to be mighty in order to figure out how to write a letter without using those two little letters. I and E. Don't you think it'd be kind of difficult? Yet that's why Priscilla and Aquila and Paul took Apollos aside and said, You need to know that Jesus is the one of whom you're speaking. You need to know that Jesus is the one of whom John prophesied. You need to know that Jesus is the one who died and rose again, who lived a sinless life, who died because he loves us and he cares about us, and he ascended to the right hand of God in the hand of power. He has poured out his Holy Spirit upon his people so that we can live and walk in authority and power. That we can know who we are because, like Vivian, we have his name on our forehead and upon our heart. We're marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, and therefore we're obedient, not because we have to be to appease an angry God, but because we want to be. Because of who we are as covenant people. Isn't that amazing? And that's the difference that this mentoring, this willingness to take Apollos aside and teach him that crucial difference between the baptism of John and a relationship with Jesus Christ. It seems like a minor thing. When someone says he is eloquent in speech and mighty in scripture, you might think he's got it all. And he pretty much does. He's got the whole keyboard with the exception of two little keys. But doesn't the gift of those keys make a huge difference? If you're trying to write a letter, would you not appreciate the use of I and E? Yeah? Wouldn't it make it a lot simpler? I don't know how you would do a letter without I or E. And so my prayer is that we would be like Priscilla and Aquila. That we would take people who we see have just a little bit and are missing a few things. Could we take them under our wing? Could we spend some time with them, take them aside, love on them, so that they could see that those two little things really matter? Do you think that Apollos would go on to do the ministry he did in Corinth? Do you think that he would be an apostle of the church? Do you think that he would be the one that Paul talks about at the end of his letter to the Corinthians if he had not received what they taught? If he had not received the truth of Jesus Christ, if he had not received the truth that Jesus is the one that John prophesied, it seems like a little thing, but it is essential. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for us is that not only would we be teachable, but that like Priscilla and Aquila, we'd be willing to teach. Because nowadays, it's not so easy. You know, there was a time where people had this great desire to get information. There was a time when you had to pay to go to university so that one professor who had all this education and all this teaching, and he was like this, he had this big amount of knowledge, and he would pour this big pitcher of knowledge into your little cups. You would come and say, "Teach me," and he would pour knowledge into you. That's the old way. The problem with this system is that now, instead of this pitcher being someone in a school someplace, where is the knowledge in our world today? Where do people find the answers to questions? Wikipedia. Yeah. Where do people find the answer to things? Even though they don't have a clue whether it's right. Online. From other people. On blogs. I'm guilty. I do the same thing. Oftentimes I just Google it. And then I'm embarrassed when someone asks me, "Do you know the source?" I'm like, yeah, Google. I blame them. But isn't that scary? Because if that was the case, and just think about this, if that was the case with Apollos, didn't he have access to the biggest pitcher in the ancient world? The Library of Alexandria? The biggest library? The biggest resource? And yet, even with the biggest resource, even with the greatest amount of knowledge that was under one roof in the ancient world, he still didn't know the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why relationship is so important. That's why mentoring, that's why discipleship is so important. Because it's about relationship. So walking with people, encouraging one another, lifting one another up, walking with them, sharing the word with them, living life with them, believing and trusting that the person is going to pour the life into you, and especially that they point you to Jesus. That's why we make the covenant with Vivian today. We welcome her into the family. Receive her as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same Heavenly Father, to work with us in His kingdom. We make this covenant so that we will always remind her that the picture she needs is the mighty Word of God given to us as kingdom people by the authority of the Word. Through word and sacrament, she will receive what the Lord wants for her, and she will have the power to walk as a child of God. Isn't that awesome? And my prayer is that she will grow up to be teachable. That should be our posture, our attitude, isn't it? Don't you think? For our whole life. Because if we want to be like Apollos, if we want to be like Paul, if we want to be mentioned in history like Priscilla and Aquila, it'll be because we are faithful, because we are teachable, and because we do God's will, not our will. Because we walk as Christ followers and not just believe something because it makes sense to us in this physical world. Because I'll tell you something, spiritual things often don't make sense. I'm sorry, they don't make sense. So can we celebrate the truth that when we are teachable, when we are open to the Holy Spirit, when we walk in His authority and with His power, the power of the King who has called us to His kingdom, when we know who we are as covenant people, when His name is written on our hearts and our minds, and we walk in His power, can we be like Apollos? Can we be like Priscilla and Aquila? Can we not only commit to Vivian, but to all the people who come into our circle of influence, that we would take the time to tell them about the two little things? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died for us, rose again for us, and wants to give us salvation. That's the I and the E on the keyboard, and it makes all the difference. May we receive that wonderful gift this day and always. Amen.